The Design Review Board meeting for September, and we appreciate your participation in this process. I'll let our board members take one final look at the minutes of the August meeting, the work session, and the meeting, and see if they would be willing to approve those or if they have any suggestions for changes. We can hear those.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes as submitted.
All right. Second. Thank you. I've got a motion and a second. All in favor of approving the minutes, raise your right hand. Okay. Thank you. I believe we can move right into new business this time. Madam Secretary, would you...
Or, go ahead.
Yeah, if you'll just read the initial... You can summarize if you like.
Can you read it from this? Do I read it from the project description part, or...?
The application on the agenda is typically how we... Yeah.
For this one?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes if it's actually a short paragraph, it is often read, but this is... this is a couple of pages. I think you might just want to summarize what you have there.
So the owner's proposing numerous interior and exterior renovations to the house and to the garage that also has the associated chauffeur's apartment above. In regards to what you're doing tonight, you're going to be taking a look at the proposed changes as it relates to the special real property tax assessments for rehabilitated historic properties, which is section 38-8 of the zoning code. And you're going to be taking a look at preliminary certification tonight, so taking a look at whether or not the property has received an historic designation, and then also reviewing the specific work that is proposed and either approving or denying that work as outlined in your packet.
Right. Good. And we already know that it is part of the survey as a historic property, so that certainly qualifies. And then, of course, we have a lot of information that's been submitted, and we've all toured the property. I believe all of us have. I'll go ahead then and ask the architect or representative of the applicant if he would come forward, and we'll see if we have any other questions. Did you have anything? Jeff, would you give your name for the record, your name and address?
Yes, it's Jeff Burton, and it's 164 Market Street, Suite 276, Charleston, 29401.
Okay. Anything you want to add to this? It's a fairly comprehensive...
I think we pretty much covered everything. I understand the sensitivity about, sort of defining this, and we've done everything in good faith and, really responding to the package that, the state initiated and so forth. So we do understand, the issue about the garage, but it was really intended to, and it had been a real sticking point in the sale of the house, so he's not doing it necessarily for resale value, but really just for his own cars. He has had problems with people damaging the cars and so forth, and he is a good reference for whoever's interested in the security camera type things, because he's actually initiated one of those and anxious to sort of get some of this done. Okay. But we appreciate your sensitivity to the issue, and we're trying to really respond to the parameters of the package.
Your comment just now, we're not looking at approving the remodeling and all, because we've already done that, right?
Well, yeah, we're approving the what he proposes
So are we working on the tax thing tonight, or are we working on just proposing the remodel? So yeah. When you said you really needed the garage built for security purposes and all, I thought we had already addressed that in a previous meeting, that you can do that.
Right. No, and we're just simply saying that to make the house usable, you know, in the terms of the package, he thought very strongly that in lieu of to make the house usable, we didn't want to damage the existing garage and instead went this route. So it is the language of the tax freeze package that I'm addressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And is there any other interior remodeling going to be done?
No, not at this time. We don't anticipate that. Sometimes you may find something, and what we would do is we would, of course, come back to the city and let them know and so forth, but we're not anticipating anything coming up. But as you well know, when you're working with a house, sometimes things happen in the process.
So really, I guess you could almost say 90% of the house, 85%, is going to remain intact as originally designed. With some, we've noticed some minor changes to the exterior, probably, over the years.
And also, per the package, I apologize. I'm not sure the special tax assessment for that designation. It's all, should it ever be removed, it's one of the other items in the description, or this I don't know what to call it, this package or whatever mm-hmm. the state's package. Mm-hmm. They also request that anything that's done be as reversible as possible. So I can't imagine somebody taking the garage down or something like that. But if they ever did, it doesn't intrude on the existing envelope.
Right.
Same thing with the porch and all these other mm-hmm. things.
It literally is added on. It's not demolishing part of the building and replacing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone could theoretically build back the wall that we proposed taking down, et cetera, without going in and intervening with the structure.
Yeah.
What is the 20% value of the appraised structure?
I believe the appraisal would be based on the purchase price, which was it was under $1 million.
Okay. So $200,000 nominally.
Nominally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I think Mr. Lott brought something up that would be worth noting just for the record, the difference between the COA process and this process. So with the Certificate of Appropriateness process, the approvals that were issued for this are whether the work was being proposed at that time is consistent with our design guidelines. What is being pre-certified here is that the proposed work under this is consistent with the eligible rehabilitation section of the historic tax credit ordinance, so mm-hmm. that would be the difference, I think.
Yeah, we're looking in a little more detail at things that aren't seen just from the street. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Bourbon?
What's included in the final project cost, Jeff?
Pretty much everything but the pool. It's all the items in the that are itemized here in 1, 2, 3, 4. The pool itself, was a usable thing as compared to the garage or something like that.
So if we excluded the new construction part, you wouldn't meet the 20% rule?
I don't think so.
But you feel like it needs to be included because it adds to the usability of the overall structure.
Yeah, right now Mr. Mullins is actually having problems with the garage, and in addition to that, he's had problems with his cars on the street. And so it's a critical path issue for him in terms of, in the language of the tax abatement or tax freeze of using the house. He's been up a lot of nights at 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, sort of guarding and watching and so forth. So.
It's a very visible and accessible garage that I drive by a couple times a week, and it could attract, and it's the floor below the living level, maybe two floors below where you would be sleeping.
Yeah.
So I can see how, even if you didn't do an extension of the garage, you would maybe want to have an additional wall, a privacy wall or something. I'm just looking at this particular view.
Right. In addition to that, he has three cars or four cars. So, you know, he...
But really, how many cars he's got has nothing to do with rehabilitating historic property.
I appreciate that. I think when we read this, we were just in terms of him using the house. The language that when they wrote this, that they used was the usability of it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you make a good point. You know, for him, it's a matter of using the house. And he loves the house. He loves being in the area, but he's really had some... He just needs more.
Don't get me wrong. We all approved what he was going to do there. It's all going to be nice.
Yeah. No, I'm just referring to the way he wrote this.
As far as the justification for the garage being part of historic preservation, I think there needs to be a very detailed justification provided in the application.
Okay, I just would reiterate that for him it was the language of using the house, you know, that the usability of it for him was compromised by needing more garage space.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you, if you're able to submit the dimensions of those just for our information?
Okay,
that might be helpful.
And my comment to that is, for what his personal need is, has nothing to do with...
He's entitled to reasonable use of the property, though. Mm-hmm. He's entitled to reasonable use of the property under his guidelines.
It's the guidelines of the proposal that says reasonable use.
I have a question for Mr. Bland. So I've been looking at this, and it seems to be a little ambiguous. And could we get a read from the city attorney on what exactly this means?
We can.
I mean, I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like I said, something that truly justifies why that added garage that he wants so he can use the house qualifies as historic preservation of the property.
Well,
because that's what the tax freeze is all about.
Somebody might not want to live there if that was going to be there. I mean, we have approved the addition for practical purposes.
Correct.
So he can live there.
Right.
But I guess I'm saying that we also don't want to be in a position where we're standing in the way of making our historic property usable and practical the way we live now. And we have two and three vehicles. A lot of people have three vehicles with, you know, families. And often they're larger than a 1936 Ford.
Well, then we should get a good justification from the from the city attorney as to why this meets it.
Okay.
Yeah, my raising the issue was not from a confrontational standpoint, but just to reiterate that we were working in good faith from the directives
of the language of the actual piece.
I understand.
So,
and when you brought it here for the original approval, I believe it was the board that told you about being able to utilize this.
Yeah.
So.
And I had the same concerns you did until I read it, you know, and then I said, whoa, they see
like everybody here. Says there's a lot of ambiguity in what's written there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit less of ambiguity, but more inclined towards flexibility. The purpose of this particular ordinance really is to encourage restoration of historic properties, not necessarily full protection or preservation. It's to promote community development and redevelopment, to also encourage sound community planning, and then also to promote the general health, safety, and welfare of the community. So I would just,
then it'll be an easy job for the city attorney.
I'm sure he'll definitely give his own opinion on that in regards to it and hopefully clear some of that up, but I do believe that there's quite a bit of flexibility within this to accommodate both existing and then proposed new construction in order to meet some of these guidelines.
Well, reading this closely, section D2, which is I think the one that's causing us difficulty, it seems to apply to things attached directly to the, that's what it says, but directly attached to the historic building, which are necessary to make the building usable. So I guess in this case, this building is not attached directly to the, so it may not apply.
Well, actually it is. It is attached to the garage
as a causeway.
It's not attached to the house, though.
Well, we considered, I thought that the historic garage was part of the historic property. In other words, the new garage addition is attached to the existing garage and chauffeur's apartments.
Okay, well, you talk me out of it then.
It's not really a detached garage, and it's an attached, separate garage structure, I guess you'd say.
So I'm thinking that perhaps, and I fully agree with Mr. Herbst about this, but perhaps the solution is to have a contingent approval, contingent on what the city attorney has to say about this. But again, if you come up with more than 20%, without the garage, then you're good.
And that issue is moot. That's right.
It may not.
But I'm thinking it probably won't.
I think the purpose of this, though, as Michaela was noting all day, is that we would, that our board could play a role in encouraging new owners of old properties to upgrade and make them livable and bring them up to date, and in this case even address some unsightly and insecure parts of it. And of course we've already approved that in terms of design and appropriateness. Now it's a matter of utilizing the tax credit. And again, I think our board, it's sort of a privilege to be allowed to assist in this balancing or taxing people, increasing their taxes when they invest. We don't want to have people say, well, wait a minute, I don't want to put that much money in it because I'll be penalized. You know, my taxes are going to go up twice. So that's why the program came about. So I think I understand where y'all are coming from, looking at it legally and all, but just the purpose of this is he
bought it. He was going to build what's being proposed here.
Right.
We approved him building it. Then after the fact, so it has nothing to do with his decision of buying the property and doing what he's doing.
Right.
Well, it may impact whether he's able to move forward with it. I'm just saying this as an ethical responsibility as his architect. I can't commit to the fact that he's actually going.
But when you came in with the proposal, you had no idea about the tax relief.
That's not true. I actually did.
It was
I hadn't read it yet.
Well, You didn't present anything about it.
No, I did not.
We suggested it to you.
I really wanted to read it first.
But when we approved it, we suggested it to you.
I know, but I was already aware of it. So, but I had not.
You didn't even say that.
I didn't. You will find we haven't worked together that closely professionally, but I try to keep my comments
to the minimum, which I'm not doing at the moment. But I will say this out of responsibility to my client, which is my premier responsibility.
Okay.
I'm very careful commenting on anything that I haven't read. So I was aware of it. I didn't say anything at the time. I wanted to read it because I was concerned that the improvements we were making would not necessarily qualify. However, when I read it, it seemed to me to be an incentive type of proposal to be very broad. And in fact, you know, the actual items that we included in this submittal all fell within the rubrics of this package. So,
and we've had, how many do we have? Two previous ones that are large houses. Maybe one large one, a couple small, and we have to use some subjectivity and some judgment about usability. I know of a couple of houses where. They had no usable kitchen. They had a bunch of little rooms, if y'all remember, and we had to allow them to gut. We wouldn't have allowed them to gut the conservatory mm-hmm. and the living room and the dining room, but these were secondary or mm-hmm. tertiary spaces, and we were very flexible there because, and I think it was a win-win. By allowing them some latitude and saying, no, we're not going to make you live like they did in the 30s and, you know, have a service pantry and a little tiny kitchen and we want people to use these houses. Mm-hmm. So we have a little more, I think, a little more flexibility. And that's why they need us up here rather than just a book of rules.
Right.
So we and we may just differ on that, but I've said my spiel for does it detract, or I think we would have a problem there. We've already kind of decided that no, it might actually contribute.
Yeah.
And then are we gonna include that in the usability clause? I guess we'll have to decide, and we could get further clarification from the attorney. But I do think those garages that are as they are currently are not what you'd consider up to date.
And I apologize because I strongly discouraged him from as a preservationist from. Doing anything to the existing structure. I thought, and again in good faith, that you know this was a much better solution. I had not, I was, you know, this was early conversations, I was not aware of this opportunity, but we were well into it. And once again, once I had read this, you know, the mm-hmm. the actual proposal that you're looking at was fitted to that. Yeah. And one of the things we took out was the pool. But we left the garage in terms of the usability clause and making the house usable for him.
Now, an option would be, let's say we don't approve that, it's not eligible. He may come back, or you may come back and have an alternate plan where you've got the garage and you, I guess there's some bedroom spaces to the right.
I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I just would feel concerned about disrupting, you know, the apartments and all. I mean, it would.
I'm not suggesting this is a good solution. I'm suggesting that might not be an ideal solution to get the current garage and make it usable so it would qualify. So your work would qualify. You know, you've bent the design another way to fit the tax credits, which isn't, you know, in the interest of the house, of the historic house. But that's probably what you'd have to do, would be to make either one wider garage.
Well, would we be able to? My concern would be intervening in the historic, you know, the existing apartments and so forth.
Correct.
You know, that is
correct.
That's, you know.
Yes.
Less historically sensitive, I suppose, is the right way to say it. So
what you've done is you've done something that doesn't impact the structure, as you pointed out, and give you credit or penalize you for doing that. That's all I'm saying.
Our goal was to make the house usable.
I think you need to enclose that and make that parking area more secure.
Yeah.
That's been mentioned as well. So. Okay. Well, we've had a lot of discussion, and we can...
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
driving down here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So we'll see if someone would like to make a motion now. There was a suggestion that we add a condition that the... We got an interpretation from the city attorney.
I'd like to make a motion that we continue this until we've heard from the city attorney.
Second. Okay. Now, that would be 1 month from now, unless we had a special meeting, yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't view this as being time sensitive. I mean, because, you know, some of these we've approved like halfway through the construction.
If you would come back up, Jeff, that is correct. We've approved some of them even further along than that.
But
this really is different, as somebody pointed out. This is not the certificate of appropriateness, which you already have.
Right.
You can go get a building permit, assuming everything else. This has to do with how much of the investment qualifies. So that's on our table now. That's a motion been seconded, and a statement was made it wouldn't affect your schedule. So I'm just wanting to make sure you're hearing
yes,
that.
Yes, I understand, and that seems fair. I mean,
I don't think it holds up your work necessarily.
That's correct.
So we'll go ahead. Then we have a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm.
That we continue it, and we get a clarification on that. So, all in favor of continuing this application, raise your right hand. You can count me. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just
you.
Need to dot that I, and I think it'll be good in the future too. A good interpretation.
Yeah. Useful one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we've ever had one that had a big addition like this one at the time of the approval.
Mm-hmm. Well, and mostly these houses had more square footage than they needed, but they, I thought, flexible to allow some.
Is he going to do, before this became known to him, this tax abatement issue, is he going ahead and build the garage?
The maze quarters?
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Well, this thing is going to go through the process and looking at pricing and what we call value engineering and, you know, make decisions accordingly. I don't know the specifics of that, but my responsibility as an architect is to represent him in this matter as an advocate, that I don't know that it would not be a factor. In other words, whatever pricing is in the district would be, I don't know that it would not be a factor in making this decision on value or commitment.
He would still own the house.
Yeah. I don't know, he's becoming increasingly every day is satisfied with the garage situation. It's been a problem in terms of people breaking into the cars and things like that. He does have three cars, and it's a very small two-car garage. So I'm not saying this as my notice information, but I can't say that it would not be something that would give him such displeasure with the house or something like that. I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's our agenda for this evening, I believe. So we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everybody. And we'll wait to hear when you hopefully.
We'll try to disseminate that back to the board once we get it. We won't wait till.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now we've discussed it shouldn't be difficult to vote. Okay. Thank you.